The scripture reading for today is Mark 4, 1 through 2. Again he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. Let's pray. God, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you that we can come here to worship you. I pray that as we listen to Pastor Boyd preach, that you would give us open ears and open hearts, and please give us ways this week that we can apply what we hear. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I hope you don't get tired of worshiping together week after week, because we are here today because of our risen Savior, celebrating His life, death, and resurrection week after week after week. And I really encourage those of you who are children in here, living under mom and dad's roof, that as you get older, that you do not forget all the Sundays your parents brought you to be with church family. Because I don't know that the freedom and what we enjoy today will be here how much longer, just based on how, I guess, our culture and even our own government, how everything seems to be heading so much in the wrong direction. But this is always a refreshing day of the week because we get to be with church family. And so, especially you children, as you grow older and mom and dad will be dead and gone, and you'll probably have your own kids someday, and just remember, mom and dad had you in church, worshiping with your church family. And so I'm thankful for that memory in my life with my parents. And I pray that for you younger people that someday when you're old like me, you'll remember that as well. Let's say our memory verses together. And we're almost done with what we've been learning. So say them with me, the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt make no idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Amen and amen. We're looking at Mark's gospel. We're actually moving to chapter 4 now, this gospel story. And here in the fourth chapter of Mark, we're about to go into several parables, parable after parable after parable, that Jesus is sharing with the multitudes. And so because of that, initially I just wanted to go straight to the first parable, which we will cover next week, which is the parable of the sower. But I wanted to kind of look at, why does Jesus teach in parables? Why does He do that? And so we're going to look at a few different verses today. And even within Mark 4, we're going to jump around just a little bit, because I want us to consider why did Jesus teach in parables? And we'll open with verses 1 and 2 and then jump down a little further here. So just follow along with me. Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. Now jumping down to verse 9. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and they may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the parables? Now, so far we have Jesus. We've seen him teach in the synagogue. We've read about his miracles. We've seen him already in Mark 4 rebuke the Pharisees. And now he's sort of entering into a just parable after parable type of teaching. Now, this isn't the first time Mark's covered parables. We've had a couple in Mark 2 and one in Mark 3. But we're about to look at many in a row right now. And so when we'll actually begin next week with the parable of the sower. But today I want us to have a sort of an overview. Why did Jesus teach in parables? And this is so foundational for us to know, because we're going to see a lot of these from here on out. So back to our first couple of verses regarding him teaching by the sea. This large crowd had gathered. He got in a boat and got on the sea. The whole crowd was beside the sea there, on the sea there, on the land, so they could hear him. And the Bible says he was teaching them many things in parables. So the first truth I want us to see is that parables were taught to everyone. And we see that just in these first two verses. And it's important to realize everyone hears this teaching of Jesus. This wasn't just Jesus and his disciples, but these were the crowds. So actually, the Bible says large crowds. In fact, the crowd was so great, that's what caused Jesus to have to go into the boat and to go out to where everyone could hear him. He would be the one sitting in the boat, and everyone would be standing on the shores listening, which is kind of opposite here. You guys are sitting, I'm standing. Next week, we can switch that up if you want to. But this is how Jesus would teach, sitting in this boat. And so I imagine for a couple of reasons, some of you know sound travels a little better over water. Depends on how far out he was. But also just the sturdiness of the boat, it was probably better to be sitting instead of standing. But it says that Jesus was sitting in the boat as he was, you know, teaching the crowd, teaching everyone. And so we have that here. This multitude is hearing Jesus teach in parables. And so they could physically hear him speaking. And so this is not how the Pharisees would teach. And so this was new. They were hearing these stories. And so, which brings us to the question with parables, what is a parable? What is that? Well, I remember a long time ago, just as a little kid going to church, I remember, and it kind of stuck with me when we were learning about, you know, parables. I heard it said, and it's always something I remember, and I don't know, it might be a popular thing the way people word it, but it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's how I learned it as a kid. And so we have these stories, these parables in the Scriptures that are pretty simple, and they're easily recognized by everyone, at least in the culture at that time. Like if you were to talk about sowing seed or earning money, it's something that everyone kind of knows about already, and you're taking something that's common to the people and you're teaching it, but using a spiritual emphasis with whatever the physical teaching is. And so that's what we have here, this earthly story that everybody can identify with, but it also has a spiritual, a heavenly meaning. And so a spiritual truth is being communicated in the parables. And chapter 4, as I've already said, is filled with several parables. And we're going to be covering them in the weeks ahead. But if you want to have more of a, what does the Bible say a parable is, we can get a little bit more understanding from verse 11. It says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. So here, something to understand is that there's this parable that everybody can hear. They can physically hear this parable, but there's a secret kingdom message within these parables that are only revealed to us by God, which we'll cover here in just a minute. Because we as depraved, finite men, we cannot figure out the mysteries of God on our own. God has to choose to reveal those to us. It's the same wording that Paul used in Romans. He says, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. Like Paul was talking about here, these parables by God are intended to illustrate a divine truth about some of the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom. But we can only understand these when God chooses to reveal himself, because they have been given to us by him. So Jesus here, he is proclaiming the kingdom of God through parables. He's teaching us about the kingdom in a way that no amount of human research could figure out. So we have to understand something here, and that is that any spiritual teaching is only possible is if God reveals it to us. On our own, outside of what God has given to us through His Word and through what the Holy Spirit teaches us, we are completely lacking in any understanding whatsoever, as were the multitudes, the large crowd that was hearing Jesus at this point. Not everyone, though, was without understanding. And we see that in the remainder of our text. Because when Jesus was talking to the large crowd, there were some who did not understand, and there were some who did. And so here's the remainder of our text that we're going to see today. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, those around him with the 12, because you got to remember, there was the 12, and then there were other followers like Mary Magdalene, who were also often in that crowd. And so they asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So we know that the parables were taught to everyone, but here's the thing. Parables were taught to everyone, but they were only explained, they were only understood to those who had been enlightened, to those whom the Holy Spirit had chosen to reveal, to those to whom Jesus, as in this case, would personally explain it to. So we have to understand what happened here. Jesus is teaching in parables, and I imagine the disciples are like, "Wait a minute, you know, the Pharisees don't teach this way." And we know that Jesus taught with authority, unlike the Pharisees. Why are these stories? Why not just, Jesus, why not just a direct teaching? Why is there this story? Which seems to be a legitimate question. Why are you teaching in parables? They asked him this. Why are you teaching in this way? So why the parable? And they probably were thinking, do you want us to make us figure something out? Why not just a flat, straight teaching? This is how it is. Which was, again, completely different than the way the scribes and the Pharisees and all those people would teach. And this is where we have the response of Jesus as he explains his reason for parables. And so, and it's in his explanation that we're given some foundational truth in general about some spiritual things. And here's the three spiritual truths that I want us to understand from what we're seeing this morning. Three spiritual truths. And the first one is that spiritual understanding is always given. It is never achieved on your own. You can't claim it. You can't claim that you figured it out. It is only given by the Lord. He said to you, "To you," though in verse 11 there, "to you has been given the secret of God." He didn't say, "You have figured it out on your own." That's not what he did. That's not how we learn spiritual truth. It is given to us. And it's important to understand that. It says, "But for those outside, everything is in parable." It still is just an earthly story to all those to whom spiritual insight has not been given. So any, think about this, any spiritual truth or knowledge of the Lord that you gain is only from God, because it is given to you. It is given. It is not something that you earn. It's not something you figure out on your own. Now the second point here is very similar in the sense that receiving of spiritual truth leads to more understanding of even greater spiritual truth. This is important to understand here with learning and walking and growing in your faith. Verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the parables?" So there's this progression. It's kind of like in math. You don't teach division first, because division is built upon addition and subtraction. There's a progression. You don't start off with trigonometry. You start off with the very basics, and once you nail down addition, then you can understand subtraction, then you can understand multiplication and division, and then you can continue on and go into all kinds of math that changes to words and letters. It's weird, but that's how it builds. And so what happens is when you, in your faith, you have to understand, Jesus is saying, if you don't understand this parable, you can't build, you can't understand the rest of them. And so as he begins to teach here, we understand the spiritual truth. How we respond to the spiritual truth that we already have, we're given more understanding, more truth, once we receive and believe the truth that we already have. And this is a powerful thing to consider in our walk with the Lord. As the Spirit of God continues to teach us, enlighten us, show us the truth, we receive that and we walk in that, we continue to get more truth, more understanding. I mean, think about it. Today, you're walking with the Lord. You know more about the Lord. You know more about the truth of Scripture than you did 5 years ago, because you have grown the Lord. And how many of us can testify? I've read that chapter 20 times, and today I learned something I didn't know. That's true. Why? Because the Lord continues to show us more truth. You don't get saved and all of a sudden know everything. The Lord continues to reveal more and more truth to you as you grow in the faith. And so, and what God has done is, as He has given this to you, and as you respond to truth, you gain more and more truth. As Jesus is saying, you don't understand this first parable, how are you going to understand the rest of them? And so when we see this, this building of truth, which is so important for us to understand, the truth that you have been given, cling to that, walk in that, and then you'll grow in your faith. See, it's when you start rejecting those early truths that you quit being taught. And we'll see that here in just a second. Because the third truth here is spiritual truth is not given to those who reject Christ. It's not given to those who reject Jesus. You see, when you reject Christ, you're not given more truth then. It's just the opposite that happens. Additional or future truths remain hidden from you because you've already rejected the basic truths that you've been given. That's why Jesus is saying, listen, you don't, this first parable, you don't get past this, you're not going to understand the rest of it. And so we see this being played out in the teaching of the parables. Because for someone to grow spiritually, God must bring them spiritual understanding. It is given. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit there and say, teach me. No, you read your scriptures. You pursue the Lord. But anything that you learn or grow in is because God has given that to you. And so we see this played out here in the parables. You have to have spiritual understanding, but it's only given by God. But your response to the truth you have been given is important. Because God's not going to continue to give you more truth if you reject the truth that you already have. So those who reject Christ are not given additional spiritual understanding. And we see this throughout the Scripture. It's a tension that we see in the Scriptures. We have this tension of God here initiating and God giving man spiritual truth. And yet on the other hand, man is still responsible for his actions and responding to that truth. It's the two-sided coin of the tension that we see in Scripture in many different ways. We see these kinds of tensions in the Scripture. In this case, a rejection of Christ leads to spiritual understanding being withheld. Let me put it this way. Responding to spiritual truth leads to more spiritual truth. But a rejection of Christ and His truth leads to truth being withheld. Does that make sense? Because, as Jesus says, if you don't, with the parables, if you don't understand this first one, you can kind of forget about the rest. You grasp what I'm telling you right now. And so for us, as God shows us things, and as we respond to those things, we grow in our faith, and He gives us more things, more truth. But as you start to reject God's truth, it becomes suppressed. And we see that here in the teaching of Jesus. So for the parables that Jesus taught, they were for everyone to hear. Everyone hear this story. But there's a twofold purpose here in these parables. One is it revealed truth. For those who are truly followers of Christ, they became enlightened by the Holy Spirit to understand. But for those who concealed or rejected that truth, they didn't grow in that truth. They rejected it. More truth was not given. So in one way, it concealed parable. A parable would hide spiritual truth from others, even though they outwardly heard the same story. But they were inwardly rejecting Christ. And the concealing of truth happened to many who were in the multitudes. It was a sign of their judgment and unbelief. I mean, think about it. Jesus was doing miracles, so there's going to be people there who want nothing to do with Jesus. They just want to see something miraculous. And we see a lot of people in the multitude who are that way. But then you have people like the disciples and some of those close to that group that were true followers of Jesus, as we learned a while back. They weren't fans who were there for a show. They were followers who were there to the death. And so for that group, truth was revealed to them because they were not rejecting Christ. They were really following Him. So in other words, everyone was invited to physically hear the story of the parables, but only a few were qualified. Only a few were given spiritual truth to hear. Does that make sense? They were ready. Those few were ready to receive what the Lord was teaching them. They believed in the Messiah. So they were going to be given more and more spiritual truth because they were followers of Jesus. Now today we are able to grasp and understand these parables as we read them, and we can do so because we have the Scripture before us and we have the Spirit of God within us who can teach us. And that's one thing I don't want us to miss today, because You can learn from the Scriptures just because the Holy Spirit is teaching and revealing and giving you the understanding of spiritual truth. And because we all know that just because you're saved doesn't mean that you know everything, that you're going to understand everything right away. But you will be continually taught by the Holy Spirit as you grow in your faith, as you respond to what truth you already have now. And so think about people that you know, maybe who are wise in their years as far as their faith, and they just seem to have this deep understanding of the things of God that did not happen in a day. What happened is God revealed truth, they clung to it, they believed it, they walked in that truth, and God gave them more truth, and then more truth, and then more truth. And some of you can look back at your own life and see that. Say, yeah, I used to believe this, but wow, the Lord showed me this, and I clung to that truth, and now I believe this. And I clung to that truth, and now I believe this. And you see your faith building over the years as the Holy Spirit continues to teach you with the truth that has already been revealed. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one who can illuminate our hearts. As Jesus said, it has been given. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. But you are diligent in your response. And as that happens, God gives you more. And it's no secret that the more we seek the Lord, the more His Spirit will teach us. So yes, there is this responsibility on our end to rightfully respond to what Jesus has taught us, what the Word of God has said, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us and has given to us. So then let me ask you this question, because this is where people have a misunderstanding about God a lot. And I've talked about this topic here in just a second from the pulpit before. But would it be fair to say that the disciples were treated differently than the multitude? Yes, they were. The disciples were treated differently than the crowd. And this is where so many people have a problem with the sovereignty of God. We expect God to be fair. That everything is even. That everyone is treated exactly the same in a sense. But here's the thing. He's not. He is a just God. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. But if God was fair, none of us would be here. We'd all be dead and eternally separated from God right now if He was fair. So as believers, what has happened, though, is for many have, you know, in a sense, subconsciously, bought into the lie that everyone is to be treated fairly by God. But He does not. He does not treat everyone fairly. You read the Scriptures and you see that God does not treat everyone fairly. You think, well, that's wrong. No, it's not. That's God. And God's never wrong. But here's the thing. He does treat everyone justly. Even believers. We learn that. Because see, believers, if we're treated justly, we're covered by Christ. A lot of people think that we're only covered by Christ because of His mercy. No, we're covered by His justice. Because Christ paid the price and it satisfied the justice of God. So everyone's treated justly. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So everyone's treated justly, but not everyone's treated fairly. Now God extends His mercy as well. But in the case of the disciples, Jesus gave them and only them and that group there, that small group, that spiritual truth, the spiritual understanding was not given to the multitude. Again, this is the other side of that tension. When it comes to the Scriptures, we see this rejection of Christ. These people, the multitude, rejected Messiah. These people ended up crucifying Him. They chose to reject the truth. But here's something again that helps demonstrate God's sovereignty. He spoke this way intentionally in parables. In fact, it was His intent all along to reveal the mysteries of God to only certain people, while letting it remain a mystery to the multitude. And that's what we're seeing played out here in the Scriptures. He said to them, to you, not the multitude, but to you, you disciples and those who are true followers of Me, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom. Not to the multitudes, but to you. For those outside, for that large crowd out there, everything's in parables. It's not fair. And God's never fair, thankfully. Now some may say, well, so is Jesus withholding truth from those who want to follow Him? Is that what God is doing here? Is Jesus intentionally withholding truth from people who really want to follow Him. But here's the thing, is the opposite is what's true. Jesus kept it from those who rejected Him. He kept it from those who do not want to follow Him, which was most of the multitude. Jesus gladly, here's the thing, Jesus gladly reveals truth to those who desire it, but the other side of that is only to those whom it has been given desire it. So the summary of this teaching is that apart from Christ, you will never desire to know the truth. Outside of Christ, you have no desire whatsoever to know the truth. You love darkness rather than light. So God never withholds truth from those who sincerely want to know it. But the problem has always been that there's only a few that want to know it in the first place, as the example here that we see with the multitude and with the disciples. And so here's the thing. God only reveals that truth. It's only been given. He's not fair, but He is just. And that's why we read, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." That's why we read that. Obviously, Jesus isn't talking about physical hearing here. Instead, He's talking about hearing spiritual truth. Only those who have ears to hear, who are receptive to the message and the truth of Christ. Those who have ears to hear, who understand, who have trusted in Christ, who believe in Christ, who believe that He was the Messiah. They were ready to obey Him. They want to follow His commandments. See, God never withholds truth from those who want to hear spiritually. Meaning those who are ready to receive and obey and follow the Lord with all their heart. Now, here's the thing. I hope what I just said is freeing for some of you. Because here's the thing. Some of you have been praying and witnessing to lost friends or loved ones for years, maybe decades. And the devil has sort of put you on a guilt trip because these people have not responded to the gospel. And the devil's made you feel guilty. You're not smart enough at witnessing. You're not good enough. You're not eloquent enough. And so the fact that these people still continue to reject Jesus, you take that guilt as if you are failing, as if you have done something wrong because they are not hearing you. See, here's the thing, is their heart is rejecting Jesus, not you. They do not have ears to hear. And your words cannot change that, because we read already, it is given. Only the grace of God can do that. So don't let the devil beat you up over years and years of witnessing and sharing the gospel, and you think that it's because you fumble through your witnessing that these people aren't saved. No. You just keep being obedient and sharing your faith, having a godly testimony, and pray that the Lord opens the spiritual ears of these people and gives that to them. Because that is what happens. It happened with the multitude. It happened with the disciples. We see the difference there. To one it had been given. To the others it had not. They wanted the rejection of Christ. And we're going to see this play out a little further. Because I think for some of us, this still bothers us at this point, that Jesus has withheld from the multitude. But we're going to see something here. So which leads us into verse 12. So that they may indeed see. And honestly, when you read this verse, it sounds like, man, this does not sound good. That they may indeed see, but not perceive, and talking about the multitude, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Like, what? But here's the thing. Rejection of Christ leads to spiritual truth being hidden. And then therefore there's no forgiveness. That's what's being said here. Now this seems a little disturbing at first. It's almost like Jesus is like, no, I don't want them saved. That's not what's being said here. Here's the thing. It's just a repeated truth that we see over and over in the Scriptures. What's taking place, quite honestly, here is nothing new. It was prophesied by Isaiah, which we read back in Isaiah 6. It says, he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. And blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. And it sounds like God's like, listen, don't tell the people the truth because they might get saved. That's not what's being said here. Isaiah was given a message that the people who were hearing it would not want. They would hear a message, but they would not receive it. And this message would actually result in the people being more spiritually blinded, which continues to happen in Jesus' day, as we're seeing here in Mark 4. Yes, they heard the message physically through their ears, but they did not receive it spiritually, and they became more spiritually darkened, even to the point of judgment. And this is what Jesus is referring to here in Mark 4. God is not, here's the thing, here's the key here with the whole forgiving and healing. God is not going to convert and forgive those who reject Him. He's not going to do it. And the people of Jesus' day, their hearts had also become hardened. Even though they enjoyed the fame of Jesus and His miracles and the feeding of 5,000 and raising people from the dead, even all that was attractive in a sense to the multitude, their hearts were hardened. They ended up crucifying this same Jesus. But they had become dull and hard of hearing, not physically, but spiritually. And here's the thing, it's a fearful thing to hear the truth of God and then close your heart to the truth that you're hearing. We see this in Romans 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. These people have seen the things of God. Ever since the creation of the world, this is nothing new, and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they saw the miracles of God. They can look at nature and see God. They see that truth of God, that little truth that they've been given. They see it, but here's their response to them. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. See, God's not going to take people who've been given this little bit of truth and reject it and then forgive them and convert them. No, they're rejecting Christ. And here we have one of the most horrible, frightful parts of Scripture. There has been a common grace that has been extended to all mankind just through creation. Because we always say that. What about the person that's in the jungle and that's never heard of Jesus, doesn't have a Bible? What about that person? They can look at the trees and know there is a God. But here's the thing. Here's what happens. You can even reject the Creator of those trees, and your heart becomes darkened even more. We see that here. And when you start to believe the lies, here's what happens. And with all the wicked deception, when you really don't want the things of God, and the truth has been proclaimed, when you really don't want the things of God, your heart's going to continue to grow more and more darker. And with all the wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. See, this is what we're reading here in Mark 4. These people don't want to be saved. So God's like, I'm not going to forgive them and convert them. They don't want that. They want to reject me. They're not going to get converted because they are rejecting me. See, and it says that they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. There comes a point when unbelievers, and this is quite disturbing, but this is what we're seeing here. There comes a point when unbelievers will never believe the truth of God because God has allowed them to continue to believe what they want, which is false. They will continue to believe a lie. It's what they want. And God's like, I'm not going to heal those people. I'm not going to, which is the wording of Isaiah, but He said, I'm not going to convert those people. I'm not going to forgive those people. They are rejecting me. They're not going to get saved. They are wanting to believe a lie. And God is, they're going to be condemned forever. They're not going to get more truth. They're rejecting the truth they see, even just in creation. Even though, here's the thing, and these are people that can be in church for the rest of their lives. That's what's so bothersome about this. It's a scary truth that we need to be reminded of. Jesus spoke in parables because there are some people who continue to reject Jesus. The little truth maybe that they have. Romans talks about that. Even just creation is enough truth. But you want to believe a lie, and so God will turn you over and let you continue to believe that lie. So Jesus, speaking through parables, was how He began to conceal truth from those who never wanted it in the first place. Here's the thing. They've heard some truth, and they refuse to act upon it or believe it. And we've already read in Mark where they agreed that Jesus taught as one with authority. So the people, they heard him and go, this guy's teaching differently. But you know what? They're not acting upon what they heard. They still are rejecting the little truth that they have been given. Even though great crowds were attracted to him and even followed him all over Galilee, few did anything about it. The multitudes were always there, but the followers were few in number. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, it was only about 120 people. Listen, think about that. You heal people, you raise people from the dead, and after all is said and done, only 120 people out of crowds of thousands and thousands? It just shows how hardened people's hearts are. So the people heard, but they rejected. So there's not going to be a conversion or forgiveness for those people. They were attracted to him, but they preferred to continue living like they wanted to live. And God says, listen, you can continue to believe your lie. In their rejection of the Son of God, he was going to continue to withhold, to conceal truth from them, because they were now starting to get what they were asking for. Yeah, we like the show of the miracles and the raising of the dead, but we don't want to follow you. We'll just stay a fan. And so they continue to get what they're asking for, which is more and more spiritually darkened. Jesus, here's the thing though. Jesus always spoke truth to them. But Jesus can only speak truth. However, it would be spiritually concealed from them. They would not understand because they refused to even act upon the little truth they had been given. Now, here's the thing. Is that any of you in here? Do you sit here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and inwardly reject the truth? Think about that. You may be a young person today who had to come with your parents to church. But every time you hear truth preached, you just ignore it, you suppress it a little more, and you just, that's for other people. I don't really want to become some religious fanatic. I don't want to, go off the deep end like my parents and really love Jesus. That's not for me. Listen, you are in a very dangerous place if that's the condition of your heart, and not just young people, adults as well. It's a fearful day when the Lord finally gives you what you want. Think about that. It's a scary day when you sit Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and continue to reject what truth you've been given. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you what you want. That's what we just read. I'll give you what you want. And there will come a day when then you will never understand anymore. You will die in your sin because you continue to suppress the truth that you have been given. I plead with you to respond to the grace of God, to sincerely hear the Word of God and surrender to Him. Don't ever get to the place where the multitudes were. Don't reject the truth that God has already revealed to you. Instead, respond to that truth in all of who Jesus is and all that He has taught. And here's the thing. As you respond to Him, He promises to never turn you away. That's the other side of the coin. I pray we all hear the spiritual truths of the Word of God. And as God's Spirit speaks to our heart, confirming the truths that we hear, that we never get to the place the multitudes were where God says, you know what, I'll give you what you want. You keep rejecting the truth. You keep rejecting me. Now you're going to believe a lie. And then someday, you'll be forever separated from the God you've always rejected. Maybe not outwardly, in person. We can't see your heart. But inwardly, you sit there and go, nope, someday, I'm done with all this. And the Lord may just give you what you want. And that's a sad place to be. That's a dangerous, fearful place to be. Respond to what truth you've already been given. That's where we are. And I imagine in this room, we have a little small sample of what we read in Mark 4. We have those who are truly following the Lord, and there's some of the multitude in here. There has to be with this size. That there's that inward rejection of what truth you've been given, and that's a dangerous place to be. I pray that God doesn't give you what you're asking for in that sense. Do not suppress the Spirit of God or the truth of God. Respond to it. And He promises to give you more truth to believe. Because God is not fair, but He is just, He is loving, and He is merciful. cling to Jesus today. He is your only, only hope. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you that you teach us and that we are not left on our own in that sense. Lord, I pray for those in here today that may be wrestling with this. Maybe they think you should be fair. Maybe they think that it's just the cost is too high to follow you. Whatever reasons, or maybe they, in their minds, don't want to turn out like their parents did. Father, I just pray that your Spirit of God would remove all those lies and the truth that we do have from your Word that we would respond to. Spirit of God would give that to us. Lord, may you never give us what our heart or our flesh desires. Lord, may you give us the truth of God and the Spirit of God to respond to that truth. Thank you, Father, for not being fair, or I would not be standing here today. And we would not be sitting here today. But thank you for being just and loving and merciful. And Father, may we cling to you. We know your love for us is great. And we know the Spirit of God is powerful. And we know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, teach us. May your Spirit open our spiritual ears. And for those in here, Lord, who actually have been bothered by the fact that maybe they think I read their mind today when they realize that they are or have been suppressing the truth of God to some degree in their life, just kind of going through the motions, Lord, that they would be great lovers of Jesus and the truth that He preaches, and that you would not give them what their flesh is wanting, and Lord, that they would be converted and be forgiven because of their desire to truly follow you. Lord, work in our hearts today. We desperately need you. It's in your name. Amen.